Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at a peek at the big picture. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time in your word, and we ask you to, God, help us see clearly, help us to understand, that we may truly see what you have for us, and that it may benefit us, help us, and help others as we walk forth from this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're going to take a peek at the big picture. And my subtitle to that would be Leviticus in Light of Hebrews. As you may or may not know, we are in the midst of Listener Appreciation Month. We've been on the air for over 5 years now. And we are celebrating by asking people to either call, text, send some way or another their questions, their places they want us to look at. And we've covered a lot of different ones so far. And so it's been a bit eclectic on where we're going, but I believe that God's in the midst of this. So somebody had sent in a request, and at first I have to say it gave me a bit of consternation. Why, this was the question, why woman had to have purification after childbirth, which is from Leviticus 12. And then another one came in, skin diseases and others, which are in Leviticus 13 through 15. I'm presuming it may have been the same person that asked for both, since they're connected. And there, as I said, at first it gave me a bit of trepidation, because this is not something we usually cover or have covered at all. I don't think we've looked at anything out of Leviticus. And then I was like, how do I manage this? And actually, by the time we got to the point of broadcasting, I've become excited, because that was part of what we wanted to do by this program. Of course, answer individual questions, but it's going to take us someplace we might not have gone to otherwise, and I think there'll be some good come from that. So, now that you understand where we are, I'm going to very quickly go to Leviticus 12. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel." Now remember that. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, "If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of separation from her infirmity, shall be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purification 3 and 30 days, which would make it 40, and she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come unto the sanctuary until the days of her purification be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation she shall continue in the blood of her purification 60 days, that make it 80. And when the days of her purification were fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb, remember that, a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle or the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, she shall bring 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, one for the burnt offering, one for the sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So the end result of this, the ultimate purpose of this, is to make her clean. It's for atonement and to be clean, okay, sacrifice made. Now, I will just very quickly remind you that, remember, they brought Jesus to the temple and presented him, did they not? And that's when Hannah prophesied over him, and I believe it was Simeon. I always just get into Hannah, not Simeon, but presented him the same way. Okay, so, and then, of course, 13 and 14 of Leviticus talk also about these skin diseases and how we're purification and from plagues. And I guess in one way it may be appropriate with what's going on in the country now, but we're going to skip by that for the moment. So what do we do with this? How do we understand this? Now, we're going to look at it the way we always look at something, although this one's going to be a touch different than we have been doing. The first things we ask ourselves whenever we read something is, who wrote it? What was their purpose in writing it? To whom did they write it? What was their assignment, right? And so we're now looking at the book of Leviticus. Truly, we've very seldom looked at Leviticus. You know the 5 books of Moses, Genesis, which we refer to a lot because it is the book of important things, the book of number ones, not just beginning, it's also number ones. And then Exodus, of course, is the book of coming out. It's when they are in bondage and how they came out. And, of course, we can also see those other pictures. When we were born, we were in bondage and we had to come out. God brought us out. God, the same way God sent Moses to bring out the children of Israel, God sent Jesus to bring us out of sin. All right. But then we have Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these, of course, are way too much to lump together into one piece. But I'm going to do it because we only have a few minutes, actually, to cover a whole area. So that's why I said it's just a peek at a big picture. Oh, I was going to explain why I chose that title. My friend and I, from time to time, we'll do puzzles, and you look at each individual piece, and each piece is pretty in its own. We may look at the colors, we may look at the shapes, but they all have to fit together. You can't force them. Sometimes you have to wait to find it, and so each individual piece is a part of the puzzle. It is. It doesn't make it untrue or unpart, but then when you've got it all put together, you take a look at the big picture. And it shows something you may not have seen looking at each little picture. So it is sometimes with a lot of these rules, commandments, and things that we find in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's a lot of other things beside it, too. I'm not saying there's not, but I'm just kind of doing this as a vague as a vague reference for the moment. So Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they tell several things. They tell the Mosaic laws about, like this, how we conduct ourselves. They talked about offerings, what you bring, when you bring. There's also a great deal of where tribes are placed, etc. But one of the other things it talks about is the building of the tabernacle. And each one of those things, I want you to remember, I'm not nullifying this. The entire Bible is God's word, and it has things that we can learn from it. It's important. But you have to understand it, again, like the puzzle pieces, in their proper place. Now, part of what that is to understand is to whom it is written, when it was written, what was the purpose of it. They all, everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 20-21 is all about Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the subject of everything in the Bible, all right? Jesus is, there's nothing about the Bible that doesn't have some relevance. Now, you may have to understand how it works, and that's part of what we're going to look at today. That's why I'm saying we're going to look at Leviticus in light of Hebrews. And so these, all of these commandments were important in their own right, and they were how society was to be conducted, and there was purpose for all of them. But they also are part of a bigger picture. Each little piece is part, and it's part of the puzzle. It's true, but it has a bigger part in the puzzle that is God's creation, God's plan and for humanity. Okay, so what do we see in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Like I said, I'm kind of way generalizing, but I'm going to talk about a couple of things. The offerings, how we conduct ourselves in a society. You know, it tells us how we are to treat each other. And it also talks about the tabernacle. I'm going to stop the tabernacle for a moment because this may be easier for us to grasp. The tabernacle is, it tells how it's to be made. Very precise numbers on how many poles and how many loops and what colors they are and what they are to be made of. And every single bit of that actually does talk about Jesus. It made a nice tabernacle, but the tabernacle was to be an image on the earth of what is in heaven, okay? And that is Jesus. It doesn't mean there is a tent so many feet by so many feet, but each part of that talks about Jesus. I'll give you a quick example. The metals that are involved in the tabernacle, there's gold, silver, brass, okay? The Holy of Holies only has gold in it, and the outer courts may have silver, and of course the outer part has brass. Brass is a combination of metals, and it speaks of our humanity, of our you know, just our humanness. But silver speaks of redemption, because silver has to be purified by fire, does it not? Gold speaks of divinity. It cannot tarnish. It cannot, it's malleable. It can be molded, but it doesn't erode. So gold, I'm just doing this very quickly. I'm not trying to teach it now. I just want you to see. But each one of those things talk about Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God still. And that's gold. That's divinity. Amen. But he came to earth in human form and redeemed us. That atonement, that silver speaks of redemption, okay? Brass speaks of our humanness. Now, you can kind of get a picture of that. So even though those metals were in the tabernacle, they were continuing in front of the eyes of people to remind them of the promise that was coming, the Messiah that was coming. All of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy definitely are in the Word of God. They may not all be I get concerned when people want to pick out one verse or another verse and say, this is what we must do. The Bible is very, very clear. Paul talks about that. I think it was to the Galatians. This is, or maybe the Romans or wherever. He says, listen, if you want to do part of the law, fine. You're obligated now to do the whole law. Well, there are people who won't eat a certain kind of food, that won't eat pork. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with not eating pork, but don't not eat pork because it says so in the Bible. Because there are other things that you're not supposed to do. Then if you don't eat pork, then you can't eat shrimp or oysters either. And maybe that's fine with you. I'll give you another example. People who say, oh, well, we can't, you know, women can't wear slacks in church. Well, I don't, but that's just because that's me. But it says very clearly that we are not to wear, it talks about not wearing clothing, the male clothing, and ba-da-da-da. People use that as over people's head. Well, first off, most of the slacks that the women wear, they don't buy them in the men's department. They are slacks made for women. But more to the point, we are not obligated to fulfill each one of these, because I will say to those same people who get very upset about those things, we'll turn to like Deuteronomy, I think it's about 22. I won't go into this for long, but it says, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Well, that's not truly all that necessary any moment, is it? We understand these were things for a social time, for how society was to conduct itself. Now, it still talks about Jesus, but we are not under that obligation. I will get to it. But verse 10 says that we shall not plow with an ox and ass together. Verse 11, however, says, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Okay, so the same people who want to tell you what you should or shouldn't wear and what you can and cannot eat, look at the color on their clothing. And let me tell you, does it have any polyester in it? Is it cotton and polyester together? Well, that's fabrics of a diverse sort, aren't they? You can't have a mix, and it should be all 100% wool or 100% cotton. And I know that there are some sects that live that way, and that's fine. And if that is meaningful to them, great. I'm just saying we are not under an obligation to do so. All right. So when we follow these things, well, we're still back looking at Leviticus and asking about the purification. Some of these things were helpful. For example, when God's people didn't eat pork, nobody got trichinosis, did they? shellfish, nobody had that allergic reaction. I'm not saying that's the only reason. There is a picture in it. That little piece is a piece all on its own and is fine, but there's a bigger picture. Amen? And so when we're looking at this, we want to understand the bigger picture. I will refer again to Leviticus 12. It's talking about a woman giving birth, which of course then is there will be a flow of water and a flow of blood. Remember when Jesus was on the cross at Calvary, they stuck in a spear. What came out first? Came out water, then came out blood. Do you begin to see this imagery always takes us back to Jesus? And so then what they were to do was to bring a lamb as an offering. And then also there was a lamb for a burnt offering and then a second offering, a sin offering. All right. So when we see these elements, there was a sacrificial lamb. Again, let me talk about, remember at the celebration. Once in a year, the priest and then the high priest would come before God's people. He would lay his hands on a lamb and transfer their sins to that lamb, right? And that was for atonement. Then there was a sacrifice, and that the priest never entered into the Holy of Holies without first blood for himself and blood for the sins of the people. There is a place that will tell us this. If you remember, now I'm going to back up here again, go to Genesis. When man committed sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, we know that God talked to them about where they're leaving, what was going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that they talked about, that he did, was it said he covered them in skins. Now, we've taken that to mean that there is something dirty not attractive or inconvenient in society, however you want to say it. It's not coming about our genitalia, which is what was covered by the skins. But the point is, he could have woven fabric, couldn't he? No, he used skins. He used animal skins because he was covering their sin, and it had to take a sacrifice of an animal. Blood had to be shed. And this is an image all through the Bible, every time for the Jews. Now, remember, this was written to the house of Israel. To them, what was it? There had to be the shedding of blood. When they came into the temple once a year, they brought their sacrifices. And so it is also for the woman. She brought a sacrifice. There was shedding of blood, all right? And this ties back definitely to Adam and Eve, because there was no childbirth before their sin, was there? And when she brought forth the first child, there was water and blood. All right. Now, so we follow this through. So now when we're looking in the book of when the priest comes out, I'm sorry, the priest comes out and he has to kill a lamb to remind them that there is, you know, there has to be the sacrifice of blood. Now, remember then, let's go on to the second sin, which was Abel and Cain. Abel brought an animal to sacrifice, didn't he? Well, Cain brought, quote unquote, fruit of the earth. There's nothing wrong with that, except he said his sacrifice was not accepted. Why? Again, we have to have this picture. You can't decide what you want to give God. God tells you what you give. And the image, again, was there has to be the shedding of blood. We can't make our own substitute, which is what was transpired with humanity through the centuries. We all decide what we think is acceptable to God. But God has made that decision. So year after year after year, after Moses, they did what? They sacrificed an animal, didn't they? There was atonement. There was the transferring of sin. Now, and then there was the curtain that separated them. But when Jesus was, remember what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Except Jesus walked around for another 3 years. The sins of the world weren't taken away, were they? They weren't taken away until there was the shedding of blood, of his blood. The Lamb's blood must be shed, and it was shed on the day of preparation for the Passover, wasn't it? And then remember, they were, okay, well, we won't go that far. There's just too much for you to cover, but I want you to understand to whom it was written. So now we're going to look at this in light of of the New Testament, because I want us to understand how does this fit. That little piece of that when a woman had a child, she had to have purification time, and then she brought a sacrifice to God. While that is, it is profoundly important on a social level, it is also, that little piece is a true picture, but it is part of the bigger picture, so that it would always remind them, see, that every woman, when she gave birth, she was giving, it was a picture of the promise God made that there will be a Redeemer coming, and that Redeemer will redeem us by blood. Amen? I'm kind of oversimplifying. I'm rushing because there's a lot, but hopefully this will start some conversation. So a couple of places now, you know, this law. So how long were we under this law? Under the law was in place until Jesus fulfilled the law. There are two places, Luke 24:44. He says that he came to fulfill the law. And Romans 10 says that he, 10 about verse 4, says he was the end of the law. That law, not all the law. God is still love. Love, the greater law of love is still in place. But this I'll say, lowercase law. Those things were in place, and they weren't in place for everybody. They were in place for the chosen, for the children of Israel. Amen? When God opened the doors of the church, the body of Christ, at first, remember, they became proselytes. They became Hebrews by, you know, they became Jews by choice, and then Christians. That was what Peter did in the book of Acts when he says, duh, it hit him for the first time that people could become Christians without first becoming Jews. Paul's whole ministry was that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews. These laws, these social laws, were ever only for Jewish people. Now, when Jesus came to redeem Israel, to redeem his whole his own people, that would have been the end of the law had they embraced his atonement, had they embraced his sacrifice, which many did they not? But what about the Gentiles? The Gentiles never were under that law. So why put them back under a law? That's what Paul talks about in Galatians. Listen, if you were free from the law to begin with, why will you now go back under a law that wasn't even ever yours to begin with? All right? I know. By the way, but I want to get us to Hebrews because I want you to see this contrast. The epistle of Hebrews. Okay, we started out with, to whom was Leviticus written? And what was the purpose of Leviticus? Why was it written? What was the focus of Leviticus? And I think we've covered that. But now we're kind of fitting more pieces together. See, I've kind of jumped around. I've gone to Genesis. I've gone to the Gospels. I've even gone to Revelation. I've gone everywhere. You kind of see all the little pieces fitting together to this big puzzle. Now, Hebrews, the Epistle of Hebrews, the assignment is to, I'm going to turn back. I wasn't going to do this, but God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things, by whom also he made all worlds. And he goes on, this was written for those who had formerly been under the law. They were like James. James is the same thing. It's an epistle to the church, but it's most specifically to those who had formerly been Jews. Now, obviously, Hebrews. These were written to those who had been Hebrews and are now, while they may still have that Hebrew heritage, they are Christian. All right. So what it does is it puts their law, their life, their history in light of Christ. I'm going to read several things out of Hebrews. We're just going to go to chapter 9. Like I said, this is way too much cover. but I'm going to show you the connection from, say, Leviticus now to Hebrews 9. Then verily, the first covenant, that's what Old Testament, right, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That's what we talked about. Divine service, all of those ordinances. There was a worldly sanctuary, wasn't there? For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was candlestick, table, etc., etc. And the second veil, and he goes on describing the tabernacle, but this is part and parcel of the all the ordinances that they were a part of. Okay. Now, these things that were ordained, the priests went all the way into first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Verse 6. But into the second, the high priest alone, once every year, and not without blood. Do you see that? The high priest went in, but he could not go in without a sacrifice, without blood. Remember, in the outer court, there was the laver, which where animal after animal was slaughtered, and they had to have kind of gutters running where the blood and offal and things would go, because there were so many sacrifices. I'll tell you about seeing something like that once. When he offered for himself and for the heirs of his people. So he would go in, I told you, with blood from the sacrifice, both for himself and for the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. See, Christ had not come, which was a figure for the time then present. Do you see verse 9? All of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, that's not all, but I'm just kind of lumping them. They were a figure for the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. We talked about the offering the woman would make, that could not make him that did the service perfect. It just took sin away, and sin still showed up the next year, so they had to atone again, didn't they? All right, but Christ, verse 11, being come and high priest of good things to come by the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. See, this was for their worldly tabernacle. That is to say, not of this building. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Therefore, it is not obligated when a woman gives birth to go slaughter a lamb. Well, you laugh at that, but it is still the same ordinance, isn't it? If you say a woman has to be quarantined, has to be for the purification, and I'm not saying there isn't, if she wants to stay home for 40 days, which in some cultures they do. In Africa, they make the woman stay home for 40 days. Okay. But if you're going to do that, then when she comes back, they don't kill a lamb, do they? No. His own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. All right. For if by the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified, the purifying of the flesh, if those sacrifices could purify the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, amen, because he entered in without spot or blemish, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Those were things they did. It reminded them. It gave them a form. It gave them. We still do things. We do some things ritually, and there's nothing wrong with that. They give us a format, a reminder. I don't want to just say a symbol, because it's more than that, isn't it? And for this cause, he was made mediator of the New Testament. I'm going to skip down to verse 16 because of our time. But where a testament there is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Okay? And so Jesus was, for when Moses, verse 19, okay, verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Remember, they had a big service and they had all kinds of sacrifices. When the temple was built to replace the tabernacle, remember the days of fasting and the days of celebration, the number of sacrifices to make sure that that was as you know, as unto God. Amen? All right. So now we are in verse 19. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of lambs and goats with water and scarlet wool, and he sprinkled the book and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Now, if you want your pastor to do that every Sunday and sprinkle you with blood, literally blood, okay, fine. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the testament and all the vessels of the ministry. Now, we know that we're the vessels of the ministry now, are we not? Amen? And he sprinkled, but this word that we are reading now, our time together in this program, every time, that's why we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray in the blood of Jesus. Because if we're just reading scriptures and coming up with a philosophy, then all we have are dead works. But we believe that our time in the scriptures are literally sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. We don't need to sprinkle any more blood again, do we? And it is sprinkled over the word of God. Amen? Verse 22, I want you to see this. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Okay? So that kind of, you were going back to where we were at. Now watch this second half because it's important. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's why the children of Israel continued to shed blood of lambs and goats and turtle doves always. Not because that blood took it away, but it reminded them that there had to be the shedding of blood so that when Jesus came, somebody would go, "Ah, now I get it." They still missed it. But that's why I'm saying even people who want to go back to the Old Testament, to those Mosaic laws, those ordinances, then, you know, it's like you say, well, now there are certain principles, and we've talked about that. I want you to understand that, you know, the principles that existed before the ordinances and after the ordinances, they are still, okay, I'll give you the example. God gives you a commandment to be wise, to be safe. You get in your car, you're going to be guided by that. Amen? So if you go into heavy traffic, you're going to slow down. Now, you might glance over and see what the speed limit is, and it's 65 and you're going 75, then you have broken that ordinance. But if you were to just use good judgment and never go be above what is safe, probably most of the time you would never break a traffic law. Do you understand? Because the very basis of a traffic law is safety. Okay? I'm not saying there may be little dispute in some areas, well, I was safe, etc. But you get the idea. If you always walk in love, you don't have to worry about fulfilling the law. Isn't that what Galatians talks about? That we are under that greater law of love. Amen? That greater law. So if you walk in love, you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have to worry about each and every little, I'll say, ordinance as such, right? If you have generosity and thankfulness in your heart, you don't have to count out the tithe. You are going to give that first part. Now, remember, it's the first part because it's the creative part. It's the living part. It's the seed. It's not just the extra. That's also where Abel and Cain got kind of in trouble, one over the other. Cain got in trouble. But you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to have somebody harangue you to give if you have generosity in your heart, because that comes from the love of God, doesn't it? Remember, God so loved he gave. If you love, you give. That's simple. Amen. You don't have to have somebody spell out, if your neighbor loses his ox in your yard, then you can pay him back, but you don't have to pay him back more than that. Because listen, if my dog gets out and chews up the neighbor's shrub, I'm going to go buy him a new shrub. Or I'm going to pay him for whatever it was that it cost him to have the other old one fixed. I don't have to have an ordinance tell me so. Amen? Anyway, I'm getting kind of a little bit left of field. We have to ask ourselves, how long was the law? It was the law until he fulfilled it. Once he fulfilled it, then it disappeared to us. Amen? And so I worry about people who always want to drag us back under the law. That's what Paul said, the Galatians, I love it. In King James, it says, oh, if you were once free of the law, why would you willingly go back under? He says, oh, foolish Galatians. I love the New English translation. It goes, you stupid Galatians. You don't want to do that. But our human nature requires us to try to have rules. Because then if I obey the rules, I don't have to be guided by the Spirit. There are so many places in the scriptures that talk about this, that if we are led by the Spirit, we are free from the law. Because we will by nature do that. That's why those of us with the Holy Spirit in us can be guided by that. Now, that doesn't mean we can do anything. Because Paul said, remember, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Didn't he? He said, listen, I'm free to do everything, but I'm also under constraint to never do anything that would cause a brother to stumble. Now, that's even a bigger requirement, isn't it? So I should have, even before my dog got out and chewed up the shrub, I should have, even though I'm free to let my dog go anywhere, I will keep my dog from even going over there because I care about my neighbor and what he's invested in his yard. Does that make some sense? So we've talked a lot today, and I know I've gone on a bit. It's a huge subject, and I've only scratched the surface of it, but it's just kind of that big arc of continuum. That was what it was. Each of those ordinances, you know, what splits the hoof and chews the cud, but it splits the hoof but doesn't chew the cud, or what, et cetera, et cetera. Or, well, some things we put in fire, and some things we purify by water, and some things blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes on. But basically, all those ordinances, they show us Jesus. I'm not saying throw them out. I'm saying if you look at them, they show us Jesus, don't they? On one hand, I'm saying we don't have to worry about what's in Leviticus 12 about whether you spend so many days in purification and then you take a lamb. If you want to go in purification, then you bring that lamb to the slaughter and watch your pastor slaughter it at the altar. Oops, I don't think that will happen, will it? But if I don't have to do that, yet I do still see that picture always, that a woman will bring forth a child, and it will be by water, it will be by blood, but in that there is a redemption coming. There is atonement for sin. There is redemption, and the high priest who will be that sacrificial lamb will enter into the Holy of Holies with his own blood that he might attain what? Eternal redemption. We will never have to sacrifice like that again. This may not have been what the person who asked the question about a woman's purification in Leviticus 12, it may not really explain every detail of skin diseases in Leviticus 13 and 14, but I hope it gives you a very, 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 just a peek at that overarching whole picture that the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 20:21 is all about Jesus. And it shows us him in every way, shape, and form, that to remind us of the promises of God, to remind us what he has done for us, to let us know we are free from the law of sin and death, which he carried in his own body, and given us the Holy Spirit, which is a token of that point that will come. I do hope this has encouraged you to just read again and read in light of those things, to lift up your hands and thank him that we don't have to follow each and every one of those. I live in a neighborhood that's close to a one Jewish synagogue, and on and you can see the devout there will not, on their Sabbath, will not drive. They walk to church or to the temple, to the synagogue. They want to live close enough that they can walk, and you see them out walking. And that's fine. They're observing that. But if you're going to observe that, then you have to observe all the other laws. And Paul told us, Jesus told us, that the burden of the law is more than any man can bear. And therefore, if we want to go back under the law, we are obligated to the whole thing. And we are not. We are obligated to that Holy Spirit, to thanking God that he has delivered us from the law of sin and death, and that we are made free by the Holy Spirit to the law of liberty, to the law of the Spirit, to grace and truth and faith. May God bless you. May this week, may you get just a glimpse of how much God loves us, how much he provided for us, and that for God to give us that joy in our liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. It was wonderful to be with you. If you have desires or questions or suggestions, write them. Get them to us. We'll be more than glad to look at them, and we'll do our best to do justice by them. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you next week.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com. Call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him.